Thanks, singers. Claire is unwell. That's why I was leading. So she's chosen the beautiful songs that we had this morning. And as I said, thanks to our musicians, many who filled in at the last minute. We continue on with our study in Ephesians, our second week on it. Ray shared last week that with us that Paul was in prison under house arrest when he writes this letter to the Ephesians. It is not as personal or as formal in its opening greetings as some of his other letters. So many scholars conclude that although this letter is specifically to the Ephesian church, it was also most likely circulated to many other churches that Paul had visited and encouraged and had contact with. For it is a letter of exhortation and encouragement to the body. Christ may have a personal relationship with us, but he does also with his body. The church and this letter and many of Paul's other epistles remind us of this. You cannot read this letter and emerge with a privatized gospel. Ephesians is the gospel of the church. It is good news for the church about how we are to live to advance the gospel of Christ. It has a special emphasis on unity, reconciliation, love, and peace with our God and with one another. He wants to make sure we know what it means to walk with Jesus. He really wants to make sure that we get it. He must think they're a bit thick at times. He wants us to make sure that the meaning and the message of what God has done is clearly known to us, so as we can operate fully with the blessings and the power that are ours to help us to grow to maturity in him. In verse 17, Paul prays that we may know God better. He wants us to know him. He wants us to get it. He wants us to grow. We already have everything we need at our disposal. As last week's study said, we've got it all. But I wonder how often we actually use it. We've got a survey coming round now. Are we ready, Jules? Sorry. Oh, they're going to grab it. Okay. Oh, I thought... This survey is a survey on prayer and your understanding of perhaps how God works. It's not about what we do. It's rather about what we actually believe. So just quickly do it when it comes around. We didn't want to put it in the grapevine because we thought you'd do it sooner than now. So there's a pen, and so just quickly have a quick look at it. We won't spend too much time on it. If you don't finish it, take it home and have a look. There it is. You can start thinking about it while you're waiting for the for it to come around. I'll give you a couple of minutes. Feel free to discuss it with one another. Oh. Well, you circle what more is that you think you are. Do you one is on the positive end, five is on the negative end. So it's yep. All right. Does that make sense? Five is next to the negative end, see? So if you believe God always answers prayer, you do number one. It should be five. Hey? The survey I got it from, this is what they had. Sorry. See, negative's down that end, so five is that end. Just look at it visually. Hey? Yeah, five's pretty bad, one's spot on. No, it's not really bad, it's, you know. Hey? Anyone not got one? Okay, we might leave it there. Take it home for homework if you haven't finished. And perhaps those in small groups maybe take along and discuss some of the findings. Just interesting to think about. I was very pleased with myself. I saw it in a book and I thought, how am I going to get it into the screen? I took a photo of it with my camera. I worked it all out all by myself. I didn't have a scanner, so it worked. So that was good. Didn't have to type it all out. Interesting things to work out what it is you really, really believe. We can say, oh yeah, God, we know God answers prayer, but do we really believe it? And if he doesn't, then what do we believe? What are some of the things we believe? Paul wants us to make sure we know what we believe and that we are growing more and more in that. One of the things in the grapevine, it's got praise. I'm actually not going to speak too much about praise this morning as part of Paul's prayer, as we've already been praising God through the service. And the earlier part of the letter we read last week really focused more on that. However, the reference to Jesus all through today's verses mean it is also about praise to God. I think Ray said last week, Paul was just so excited that it keeps just on bubbling out of him in his writing as one praise point leads to another. His excitement in what Christ has done just can't be contained, and it comes out in his writing. How excited do you get about Jesus when you think about him, when you pray, when you share him with others? Do you get real excited? Paul is in prison under house arrest, yet he is so excited about what Jesus has done, about his friends, the Ephesians, whom he loves dearly, and he so, so much wants them to grow in their understanding. And we know he praises God in prison religiously as we see in Acts when he and Silas are praising God. So all can hear them, drunk in the Spirit. I want to get in on now, though, with the two things that are emphasised, I believe, in these verses: knowing God better and knowing his power. This is what is at the heart of Paul's prayer. The wonderful truths about God Paul expressed earlier in this letter prompt him to pray. He's invested time in the Ephesians and many of the churches he's travelled to. He is invested in the kingdom of God, and because of that, he so wants them to grow and to know. He first prays for them to know God better. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him better. The universality of this prayer and the one in Colossians means too that he is even praying for us today. How well do you know the Father? You've been given the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might come to know him better. Are you using the Spirit, or are you not paying attention? Paul wants them to know and experience God on a deeper and more intimate level. He wants their minds to be enlightened. The Spirit of wisdom is a reference to the Holy Spirit's work within, enabling one to receive and understand divine truth and make practical application. We cannot understand divine truth apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. The word revelation indicates that truth is only revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. What Paul is really praying is that God will reveal to them what they already have. He prays for insight, for inner strength and love for the believers, for the purpose that they will comprehend and understand this truth, that they will know God better and be filled to overflowing. Paul is praying that they will finally get it, that they will have a breakthrough in their comprehension and understanding of what God's love and his purposes are all about. Have you ever been a bit gullible or not get a joke when everyone else does? I've been known to be like that on the very odd occasion. I'm going to stress very odd occasion, right, Amy and Gareth and Joel and Chantal, aren't you? You know the feeling, I hope, when all of a sudden all the lights go on and you understand what had previously eluded you. This is what Paul is hoping for us, that we will get it, not just pretend that we know, or like you do sometimes when you don't get a joke, you laugh a bit to look cool or something, or as if you're in the know. Do you know what I know? Do I know what you know? We should all be on the same page, because the Holy Spirit is revealing the truths of God and his hope and power to us. Don't miss them. They knew God and they responded to his call for salvation, but that is not the end of it. There's more to learn, more to gain. We need God's wisdom and revelation to come to Christ in the first place, and then we need to continue to receive wisdom and revelation in order to build our relationship with him. The longer I walk with God, which has been some now, probably nearly 40 years more, the more I want to know and the more I know I need to know. Paul also wants the Ephesians and us to have enlightened hearts. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. To enlighten means to explain or to make clear. The Greek word Paul uses here, photizo, means to shine, to illuminate, to bring to light. Paul wants their hearts to illuminate and shine with the things that he goes on to describe. He wants them to know the hope to which they've been called. He prayed that God would reveal his purpose to their innermost being. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for, The enlightened heart is solid in hope. The hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life. That's how and why we persevere. We know that our work is not in vain. We know that all our sacrifices and our tenacious efforts are going to be richly rewarded someday. But until that glorious day, we respond to our hope by living a life of righteousness. We understand the enormity of God's grace, so we respond by living a godly life. We show our belief for tomorrow by living for Jesus now. Our future hope is a present reality. And the words glorious inheritance, Paul wants them to know and understand the glorious abundance of spiritual things they are blessed with. When we think of an inheritance, we think of something that's waiting for us. But when it comes to the Christian's inheritance, it's both future tense and present tense. Sometimes we only focus on the future, but that's only part of it. We need to understand we have inherited kingdom treasures in the here and now. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Do you know those riches in your day-to-day life? The future tense is the inheritance of heaven, but more than that, it is an inheritance in the saints. Ours is not a solo reward, but one we will share forever and ever with all of God's people, living and dead. And don't worry, there is still plenty for all, but it is shared with the family. How do we come to know God better? The better we know God, the more we understand his grace, his mercy, and his love. Sometimes people want to go deeper with some of the, I think sometimes spectacular or extra wonderful things of God. And he does give wonderful extra things. But the longer I've walked, the more it comes back to the simpleness of love, love God and love others, and understand his grace and his mercy. We come to see the magnitude of receiving undeserved favour. We develop a greater appreciation of not being treated as our actions deserve. We know God is with us in trying situations. We are truly thankful to know God's peace, to not be consumed by guilt, fear, worry, doubt, and anxiety. To know God better is to know and understand his love on an increasing level. There is knowing about God, and there is knowing God. Through God's word, Paul asks that God give to his fellow Christians the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may know him better. The definition of wisdom is the application of knowledge. The Christian wisdom begins by knowing what God has revealed to us in his word. What does God reveal to us in the Bible? He reveals who he is, what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do for us. The Bible reveals how God created the world and all that is in it. It reveals the source of suffering, sadness, and death. It reveals the heart of our God who so desperately wants to break people free from the eternal curse of sin, revealing his rescue plan. Revealing the rescue plan that he came up with to restore relationship with us for which we were created and to live with the hope and certainty of eternal life. The Bible reveals how Jesus perfectly executed God's plan to save us, dying in our place for our wrongdoing. It shows us the power and victory in raising Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible reveals a God who forgives and loves, a God who makes and keeps his promises, a God who has a perfect plan and purpose for each of us. When you spend time reading and studying the Bible, God's major way of revealing himself, you realize that it's much more than a book of information. It is more of a personal conversation with the God who wants you to know him and all he has done for you. And with a growing appreciation comes a growth in godly wisdom, applying God's word daily to our lives. We better learn how and why to forgive, love and serve one another, and how to live in unity. We learn how and why to set priorities, to use the money and possessions, the time and abilities that God has given to us for his glory and to extend his kingdom. How else do we learn about God? Through hanging out with him, through praying, through talking. How do you get to know someone? You hang out with them, don't you? You do things together. You listen to them and you share your stuff with them. Perhaps it feels strange at first when you're getting to know someone. You have to take a few risks sometimes. Perhaps you take it slowly. Perhaps you make comparisons with other friends and other times. Then all of a sudden, at some time, you suddenly realise that you feel comfortable with this person. You are no longer shy or inhibited. You know you will be accepted regardless of what you do or don't do. And you are comfortable with silence. It's the same with God. Pray, chat, talk, sing, be still, listen, laugh, cry, share, ask and tell him how much you love him. Last week at our small group, someone said, God doesn't need us to be God, but if he wants to be loved, he needs us to do that. And that is how he created it to be. Through prayer, we know the importance of having someone who will listen to us and respond to our concerns with sound and helpful advice. We understand how important it is to have someone who really cares about our well-being and who will tell us what we need to hear, as painful sometimes as that may be. That's the blessing of having the Holy Spirit. And he's available 24/7. No matter what it is, we can always rely on him. And he won't ever steer us wrong. We can always trust what he says to us. The Holy Spirit not only counsels, he comforts. It's one thing to be able to give great counsel, but with the Holy Spirit, you also get someone who can ease your pain, who will acknowledge your hurt and will help you by standing with you through it. He offers us his presence constantly. Another way of getting to know God better, through hanging out with his family, through the church. We need to be hanging out and worshipping and learning with like-minded people, especially in such a countercultural world. The Bible is very clear that to be a growing Christian, you need to be part of a faith community in some form. It is not an optional extra. We thank God for your faithfulness in being here week after week. And we know for some of you that that is not easy. So thank you for the sacrifices that you make in order to come here week after week and be a part of our fellowship. It is clear that the people gathering together was so important for Paul, as he refers to their love for all God's people, and that it was their saving faith that unites them and produces that bond of love. And he knows there is power in the body of Christ. And there are many other ways that God reveals himself through creation. Often when you know those times when you've just, your breath's been taken away because you've just seen something so beautiful that he's created. And then there are supernatural revelations as well. Sometimes he reveals through dreams and visions, through words of knowledge from another person. Some people hear sometimes an audible voice, or sometimes through circumstances or some experience. These can be sensational and exciting and so affirming. But sometimes we just need to be careful, just a word of warning. These can be subjective, and they always need to be tested against the word of God itself. If they are inconsistent with God's word, then you would have to doubt their truth. And another way of testing them is to seek the counsel of a Christian you respect. It's always good to test anything out of the ordinary that you think God is saying with other people. If it is from God, it will withstand any such testing. So Paul wants them to know him better, but he also wants them to know the power that is available. And then he talks about that power to us who believe. His incomparably great power, the power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. One of my favourite verses, and it blows my mind to think that power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us on a daily basis. Do we get it? Do we understand it? Do we put it into practice? I know I probably don't very often, or way too little than what God wants me to. Paul wanted them to know and experience God's power. In verse 19, he defines that power. In verse 20 to 23, he describes that power. Paul uses four of the most expressive Greek words available to him: power, dunamis, meaning dynamic, dynamite, or potential. Working energeia refers to activity or power in motion. It is always moving. It is effective power. It is mighty. This is ischus and indicates muscular force. And then strength. Kratos reveals a supreme, superior, or sovereign power. We don't quite get what the words mean sometimes in the English, or how strong they actually are, until we can look at the Greek sometimes. And that power is resurrection power. The same power that raised a dead saviour can raise you or me. God raised Jesus from the dead. If we would make a list of the things that seem impossible, rising from the dead would have to be on the top of that list. So imagine lowering a corpse into a grave, or in Jesus' case, into a tomb, and then later seeing that the same person emerge with a new and resurrected body. If that is possible, what other things are possible with God? This is what Paul wants us to grasp: the power available to us. Then God the Father welcomes Jesus into heaven to again make full use of his divine power and authority that belongs to Jesus as a true God. These verses repeatedly make it clear that Jesus' power and authority is not limited in any way, and that it is also available to us. And how has Jesus chosen to use all the power and authority that he has as our ascended Lord and Saviour? One little phrase: for the church. He's not chosen to use his power to make his life more comfortable. He's chosen to use all of his power for you, for Christians of every time and place, for those who he has called to be his own through faith. In fact, he's so closely connected to us and every Christian that he calls us his body, and then tells us that we are the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus, who has everything as the true God and needs nothing from anyone, has chosen to find his fulfillment in us, in you and in me. You are his pride and his joy. You are the ones he is most concerned about. They are some pretty good reasons to believe that Jesus can deliver the powerful gifts that he promises us. There was an avid art collector. One day he heard about a renowned painting and he decided he just had to have it. He called in a trusted associate and gave him the task of finding this painting and buying it at whatever it cost. So his associate went off and did some research, and he finally located the painting. He couldn't buy it, however, because it belonged to a man named William Randolph Hearst. And the art collector who commissioned the associate to look for this painting was William Randolph Hearst. Mr. Hearst had no idea that he already owned the painting. and that it was hidden away in one of his warehouses. Sometimes we are like that. We look for hope. We look for the resources we need. We look for strength when we already have what we need, hidden away, often not developed. Paul says, I keep asking God to show you what you already have as a gift from God. You see, the very same power that empowered Jesus' ministry on earth dwells in us. The very same power that caused Lazarus to come out of the tomb lives in you. The power in the hands that touched blind eyes and made them see, that broke bread and fishes and fed 5,000 people, is in you. I don't see it, you contend. Exactly. That's why Paul is praying diligently that the eyes of the Ephesians' hearts and ours will be opened, that your blindness will be cured, that your faith will be broadened, and mine too. We live so far below our hope, our inheritance, and the power that is ours. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. And not only does Paul pray for us, but so does Jesus before he heads off to Gethsemane. He takes the time to pray for us. To Paul and to Jesus, the future church and its disciples, you and me were so important that they paused to pray for us and still do so today. They pray that we will come to know God better and know the power that is infinitely available to us through the resurrection of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much. Again, we praise and thank you that you are such a mighty and powerful and holy God. And yet, Lord, you choose to want to have a relationship with us. You created us for that purpose. You want to know us. You know us so well, but you want us to come to know you more and more intimately. Help us to trust your word. Help us to look for the power and that is already within us through your Holy Spirit. Open it up to us. Help us to seek and to keep looking until we are comfortable in using it daily, in drawing from it all the time. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for his power. We thank you for his love, his comfort, his guidance, and his counsel. We thank you for Paul and what he left us in Ephesians, and for the power of your word to reveal yourself to us. Help us to get to know your word better. Help us to get to know you better. That is what Paul longed for, and it is what you long for. And as we get to know you better, help us to know the power that is available to us, so as we might live for you in a mighty way, and so as we might offer to a hurting world the love, the grace, and the mercy that they need in order to be restored to you. Be with us now, we pray, and as we close our service, may we continue to discuss these matters at the small groups that we are part of during the week and ponder them in our own quiet times or our own times with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.